chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of the Lord.
You may have read that passage before. You may have never even heard of that. You may not even understand anything that's in that particular text. I don't know what you've read, what you haven't read. But what I do know is there is profound meaning and potency to this particular passage, because what it means for us today has significant implications on our lives. Now, right in the beginning of the text, we see that there's Jesus telling his disciples to go out and find a colt. And this colt, when you see the colt, what's going to happen? He says, go to the village ahead. First of all, any of us sitting in here, if someone told us to do that, wouldn't that seem a bit odd? If I were to tell you, go out to downtown Chatham, go find a colt, and when you find the colt, tell the people that it's for the Lord. What do you think people would say to you? Kind of like, I'm taking your colt, it's for the Lord. Let's use a Cadillac instead. You go downtown Chatham, there'll be a red Cadillac parked on the side of the street, and you go and you start it, the keys will be in it, you start it, and you drive down here, and just tell them it's for the Lord if anyone asks you. Right? A colt is not a Cadillac, right? But it's kind of like that, because the livestock were so valuable to the people of this day. They were incredibly valuable. And the Lord needs it. That's it. Don't say anything else. The only thing you need to say is the Lord. The Lord needs it. Those who are sent ahead found it just as he said. So they go out ahead, and they end up finding it just as he said, and then just as he said, and then they say what he said, and then they bring the colt back. And this colt, they throw their cloaks. If you know anything about this age, this era, 2,000 years ago, what you discover and what I discover, what we all discover, is cloaks were very important to people of those days. They kept them warm. It got cold in the evenings there. But they took their cloaks and they threw them on the colt. And in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, we find that it is prophesied that, you know, the king will come riding in on a colt. It's not a large donkey, it's a colt. And if you've ever seen an adult try to ride a colt, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? But they throw their cloaks down, and then they throw cloaks on the ground, and they start cheering out. And the people are amazed. So we find Jesus sitting on a colt, walking down this street, and people begin to surround him. Imagine all of us standing up and waving palm branches, throwing cloaks down, throwing palms down on the ground, and Jesus is riding down the street with a cloak. But not only that, the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of the day, they began to criticize and critique. And they said, "What do you think you're doing? You better correct your disciples. What they're saying is wrong." I really like his response. "If they don't do it, the rocks will cry out." Cry out. So guess what? If we don't praise God, the rocks will cry out. Now,
there's two words that have huge power in them that's in this text. And it's about Jesus weeping. These words, Jesus weeping. Jesus wept. When Jesus wept, he wept for a reason. Why was Jesus weeping? Why was he weeping? I wonder if we asked ourselves the same question today. If Jesus looked at my life, if he saw how I was living, and he saw the direction in which I'm going, and the direction in which I'm heading, would Jesus weep? Would he weep over my life? What I've done in the past, but not just that, where I'm heading and where I'm going. I wonder if Jesus looked at our life, what he'd say? What would happen? Would he weep? And if you know anything about history back then, in AD 70, Israel was completely demolished. Josephus, who was a historian back then, he was sent to the Israelites to meet up with them and talk with them, to try to be a mediator between Titus, who was the Roman warrior leader, and Titus was going to demolish Israel. And they had a fortified city. And this fortified city, they were going to demolish it. And that was their goal. That's what their purpose was. And this was shared. Jesus died and rose again way before what he prophesies here. And in AD 70, the second temple was demolished. And Jesus shares it right here. And if you've ever read, it's really sad what happened, because it was written that 1,100,000 people died, and most of them were Jewish. This was before the Holocaust. And Titus would not take a wreath. And back then, when you conquered a city, you were handed a wreath. And the wreath was symbolic of you conquered that city. And he wouldn't take it. You know why he wouldn't take it? Because he said it was God's will. This world can be super messed up at times. And there's things in this life that we just don't understand. We can't comprehend. There's pains and there's sorrows and there's grief in this world that sometimes goes beyond what our words can speak. And Jesus weeps. I wonder if Jesus is weeping over us. I wonder if the direction in which we're going and heading is honoring God, or if we're running from God, or if we've never known God, or if we're not even seeking God, or if God is just somebody or something that, yeah, okay, I believe in God. But you know what? It's not just about some minimalistic intellectual embrace of God. It's about this holistic approach to discovering a personal, intimate, unique, amazing, incredible connection with a God that has saved us and set us free. And this Passion Week that we're entering into now, when palms are waved and we're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, save us, save us. What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from our sin, our corruption, our bondage. We are encapsulated, enslaved. We're enslaved by sin. So many. Every one of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None is righteous, not even one. However, are you with me? You heard the however. There is hope. There's amazing, incredible, profound hope. And there is grace that is abundant. And we discovered that grace is God's favor that is unearned, undeserved, and unrepayable. And God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And what that means for you and for me is that, yes, we come on a Palm Sunday and we wave our palms and then we go home and our lives are the same as they've always been. And God's saying, what are you doing? It's not just about going on Sunday and waving a palm. It's not about that. It's not about you creating the God that you want to serve. It's not about us creating the God we want to serve. It's about us following the God who is the one true God. And you know what? When that happens, we discover grace. And if you've ever been treated by somebody with grace, when you knew you didn't deserve it, that you knew that you weren't worthy of it, but someone extended grace to you, it had profound effect on your life. When you experienced this undeserved favor, it's hard to even explain. But in the midst of our weakness and our pain and our hurt, Jesus is weeping. He's wept for you and for me. And there's this call out. Wake up! Wake up! Because it's not just about the palm branches. It's about the revolution of the soul. It's about our entire being transformed into who God desires us to be. It's about the beauty of us being this little seed that gets planted in the ground. And then bang, these roots start bulging out all over the place. And as those roots expand, we get deep. And as we get deep, we eventually shoot to the surface. And as we shoot to the surface, there is incredible beauty that begins to take place because there is transformation. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I know that I am a man in mighty, mighty need of God's grace and transformational power in my life. And I don't know if you've had it with the way things have always been, and you've been fed up with the issues and the baggage and all the junk and debris that you carry in your life. I know I am. And I know that this God that we're talking about, and we're sitting here and standing here discussing this morning and processing in our mind and prayerfully in our heart, I know that this same God that we're talking about can completely restore, transform, and renew us to be a people that are truly blessed and led by a holy God. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. What is God trying to communicate to us this morning? I wonder if we've even really taken time to reflect and listen. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. In the midst of our weakness and our pains and our affliction, His grace can be poured out to us. Grace, the power to change dead ends into new beginnings. The power to change dead ends into new beginnings. Maybe some of us here this morning have come to a dead end. And we don't know where to turn. God's like this. My son, my child, my daughter, my son, my daughter, my child, he come to me. All you who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Need rest? Has this life been too much? Are you weak and heavy laden? God's calling out to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you this very morning, Lord. So many of us are just trying to wrestle through so much in this life, Lord. And Lord, many of us have tried to do everything we can on our own. And Father, a lot of us have made our lives all about us, just us solely. And God, others of us have given so much and been so hurt. And then others of us, God, have done things for the wrong reasons. And God, Lord, ultimately you just desire us, Lord, to humbly come to you, Lord. And not embrace a cheap grace, Lord, but to embrace your full grace. Lord, many of us have fallen short. All of us have, Lord, have fallen short of your glory. And none of us is righteous, not even one. So God, I come to you and we come to you this morning, Lord, crying out to you right now, God, asking that you will allow us to understand you more deeply and profoundly in our own lives. Lord, do a mighty work this very morning, Lord, in our hearts and our minds. Cleanse us, Lord. Purify us, God. Lord, I ask, oh God, that we will be a people that are not satisfied with just saying we believe that there is a God. But Lord, I ask, God, that we will be desiring to ultimately follow after the one true God and live lives that are pursuing holiness and righteousness. God, allow us not to compromise you anymore. Allow us not to make up a God that fits our selfish, self-seeking purposes. But God, allow us to follow you who is the God. And Lord, some of us are wondering how we can follow you. Lord, we just need to cry out to you. And Lord, I ask God that if there's any in here that need to cry out to you this morning, God, that they will pray this prayer with me to themselves. Lord God, I come to you. I don't know you that well. But Father, I turn over my life to you this morning. And I realize I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of your glory. And I'm in need of a Savior. And this very day, I embrace you, Jesus, as my Lord, as my Savior, and my God. And I ask that you will cleanse me, and I will understand the power of being forgiven, Lord, I messed up in my life. And I ask for your forgiveness and your transformational power to fall upon me. Purify my heart and my mind and make me like you. If you prayed that prayer, I just want you to look up at me. God wants to do a unique, powerful, mighty move of his Spirit in you. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much, oh God. Lord, I just ask, oh God, that all those that have looked up this morning, God, I just ask, Lord, that you will supernaturally fill them with your peace, with your joy, with your hope. Lord, pour down your Holy Spirit upon them, God, and fill them to overflow with hope, understanding, with wisdom, with discernment. And oh God, I just ask for a supernatural peace to overflow in their hearts and in their minds, oh God. Lord, one that humanity can never bring, but one that only a supernatural, beautiful, amazing God can bring and fill and flow through the inner beings of us human beings, Lord. And God, I ask that you will do this in the name of your Son who has risen from the grave. And may we be people that live by the power of the resurrected Jesus this day and for the rest of our lives. And Lord, even for eternity, may we, Lord, live this life, live in this world, but not of it, God. May we be people that are truly transformed, renewed, restored, and invigorated with the power of a God that has set us free by grace that is transformational and powerful in the name of Jesus. Amen.